Good morning. Wow, you're so good looking. If you're a first timer with us today, we want to especially welcome you. Thank you for coming this morning. If you're online joining us, online church, I want to welcome you. We appreciate our online church, those that join us every week on our online time. I want to remind you this Wednesday is our first Wednesday, our first time getting together on a first Wednesday, and we're going to be having communion, breaking bread together, and I'm going to be speaking to you about how to set your sail and how to catch the Holy Spirit's movement in your life, and so that'll be a great time on Wednesday. We do have childcare on Wednesday evening. Well, this morning we're going to look to the scriptures. I've entitled this, The Great and Powerful Effects of Prayer. And I don't know about you, but in my life, at times, I can experience faith fatigue, where you're believing for something and believing for something, and you just kind of realize that your faith begins to get tired and wane as you're waiting for that answer to prayer, waiting for God to move. And we know that prayer is effective and powerful. We know that in our head, and I want to talk about that today and remind you how powerful and effective prayer is. But sometimes we don't open the door to the answer that's waiting for us, that God has for us. We don't expect that our prayers are going to do something effective and powerful. And so I want to stir you to believe for that today, and just have our prayer times, your own prayer times in the morning or whenever you might pray, our corporate prayer, just to come up a little notch or two or 10 or 15 as we believe God in faith for answers to prayer. Somebody say answers. God answers prayer. I want to read a scripture from Acts chapter 12. I'm going to read from verses 1 all the way through 19. This story about Peter being in prison. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side. He raised him up, saying, "Come on, get up, get up." And his chains fell off his hands. And then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Put on your garment, follow me." And he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out from there, and they went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." And so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, the girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. They said to her, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Now Peter kept knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Father, we just pray today that you would stir us to know how you bring us out of our prisons, how you change financial situations, how relationships can change, how our lives can change because we prayed. And so, Lord, stir that faith in us, that we wouldn't be like this prayer meeting who just kept on praying but not believing that the miracle was standing at the door. Lord, that we would open the door to our miracles in these days. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Got some notes there. I encourage you to, if you get a thought that drops in while I'm talking, preaching this morning, you would write it down and take it home this week and just let it minister to your heart and soul. Well, it says that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. This is Herod Agrippa. He's the grandson of Herod the Great, who killed the babies at the beginning of the New Testament looking for the infant Jesus. He's looking for some political power, and he wants favor with the Jews in Jerusalem. So he's up for re-election and doing whatever needs to be done to make sure he has their vote and their confidence. He's already killed James, the leader of the church, and that seemed to go well. And so he's going to go now after Peter, who's quite a prominent leader in that first church. He wants to harass them, which literally means do harm, do evil, to distress them. He stretched out his hand. Literally, he extended his authority. He extended his power and influence to do this evil, to do this harassing. Clearly, he is under the power of the evil one, that you and I face each and every day. And the Bible talks about us not being unaware of the schemes of the evil one, knowing that we are harassed by the devil and his schemes. But as we're going to see this morning, there is a power in prayer. We're not to be afraid of that. We're not even to be concerned about that. But we are to be aware of the wiles and the schemes of the evil one. Herod is feeling pretty confident as he grabs Peter, but he places him into prison, a deep prison, and probably a hole in the ground. And there are levels to this prison, and he puts four squads of four, or 16 men, around Peter. Two of those 16 are chained, one on his left and one on his right. And so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made to God intensely by the church. But prayer. I'm so glad that God has given us a way to partner with him to allow his power and his presence to come into situations that we're praying for. And today, what we want to see is what James taught us in James 5:16, that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. I want you to say the two words there with me, powerful, effective, powerful and effective. They're powerful and they're effective. And you say, but Pastor Roy, it says the prayer of a righteous person and I don't feel very righteous. Well, you don't have to feel righteous. You are righteous. You can't get any more righteous today or tomorrow or the next day. No matter what you try to do to get more of God's love, you can't get more of his love, and you certainly cannot get more of his righteousness. Because when Jesus died, he gave you his righteousness. He took your sin, gave you his righteousness, your right standing with God. What the scripture is really saying is the prayer of a Christ follower. Whether you're a minute old in Jesus or you've been serving Jesus for some time, irregardless of your track record, whether you had a 5-sin week or a 50-sin week, you are righteous because you've accepted the righteousness of Jesus, and your prayers are powerful and effective. Or we could say it this way, prayer works powerfully. And both words are important. Prayer works. The word there is work. It gets something done. Prayer is working. Say works. Prayer is powerful. Not only is the work done by prayer, it's not a wimpy work. It's not a half-hearted working. It is a powerful working when we pray. We may not see it, but today I'm stirring you to believe that as we pray in our prayer time, somewhere in a prison, something's being released, something's being healed, someone's being touched, because prayer is powerful and effective. Yes, Pastor Roy, that is good preaching. All right. Our summer team and Mia will be preaching next week, and you'll be hearing some of our just really some great preachers that are here in the house, and I've been critiquing them now. They used to say, how did I do? And I would just say, you did fantastic. And they go, no, but we want critique. And I said, when you preached enough, I'll critique you. One of the things I tell them not to do is what I just did, and that is sometimes in your insecurity of whether or not you're connecting with your audience, you give them a cue and you want to hear them say, amen, or you want to know you're out there. And so I just succumb to one of the things I tell them not to do. And the reason I just said that is because they're probably critiquing me, and I'll get messages after the message. Well, Peter rings the bell, doorbell, and Rhoda comes to the door, and she's really careful about who she opens the door to, because she was told stranger danger, Herod is looking to kill Christians. And so she's very careful, hears Peter's voice, recognizes it immediately, runs back into the prayer meeting and says, everybody stop praying, because our prayer is at the door. Our answer to prayer is at the door. Our prayers were great and they were effective. And they said, no, they're not. No, he's not. We're just going to keep praying. Don't we do that sometimes? We kind of go through the obligatory responsibility of prayer, but we don't get that prayer is more than something you do. Prayer is partnership with God, and it's powerful, and it's effective. And she said, no, I know it's Peter. And they really show their hand. They go, it's his angel, or in some translations that you might have, it's his ghost. In other words, he's dead. He's died. All you're seeing is on his way to heaven, he stopped by, and there were some traditions that on the way to the afterlife, perhaps people would appear. That's not anywhere in the Bible as happening. That doesn't happen, but some traditions, and they thought, well, maybe that's what it is. He's dead. How many times have we prayed, and really our sense and feeling is whatever we're praying for is dead? Why bother? But now I'll keep praying anyway. Rhoda, don't open the door. There's no answer to prayer at the door. Don't open the door. He's dead. It kind of begs the question, why are we praying? Why pray if you're not expecting something to happen? But Peter kept on knocking. And when he'd opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Wow, it works. And Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison, which is where we want to spend the few minutes left. So Peter actually walks him through. He teaches them. I want, while you were praying, this is what was going on. I want to tell you, because you didn't see the effects of your prayer, but I did. I'm the recipient of the answer to prayer. And so now everybody just sit down in the prayer meeting. We're going to have now a little teaching time. And Peter begins to teach to help them understand that what you did is good, but you need to keep doing it. But you've got to get into the habit of going to the door and opening it, realizing that prayer is powerful and effective. So begin opening the door to allow your miracles to come into your life. There we go. All right. It's just, I don't know. I just begged for a response there, and you didn't do it, and I just broke another rule. Okay. Five things. We could do probably 50 things that happen when we pray. I'm just going to give you five. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. Number one, prayer brings God's glory into dark places. Prayer brings God's glory, God's power, God's presence. Glory is talking about, it's what does that word mean in the Old Testament? The weight and the sense that God is with us. Like this morning as we're worshiping, and there's something other in the room, and it's God by his Holy Spirit, and you sense the weight, you sense something in the atmosphere. That's what we call the glory of God. And this glory manifested itself in the dark place. When the angel entered the dark place, instantly the atmosphere in the place changed. You know, here's the thing about the work of the enemy. And you might be praying, and you might be like the people saying, well, it's dead, it's over, but I'm supposed to pray. I'm a Christian. We're supposed to talk to God. Keep the door closed. Keep on praying. No, it doesn't matter this morning how dark your situation is. It doesn't matter how dark it has gotten. It doesn't matter how hard the enemy is working. It doesn't matter that he has stretched out his hand or that he's harassing you. Don't give up on prayer. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He doesn't want God's glory in that situation. He doesn't want the presence of God. And God is waiting for you to partner with him and say, God, I am praying that your glory manifest in the dark place right now, in my children's home, in my grandchildren's presence, in this situation, in that situation. God, we pray right now and we release the glory and the presence and the power of God into the dark place. God, prayer releases the light, the life of God into the dark places that you are praying for. It literally, literally changes the atmosphere of wherever you're praying. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is bringing heaven's atmosphere into earth's darkness and into earth's difficulty. Isaiah said it this way, arise, shine, for your light has come. Past tense, done. The light has come. You don't beg God for his light. You don't have to kind of really clench your fists and pray in a different voice to bring his light. You simply, with faith, in your prayer, in your conversation with God, say, God, I'm partnering with you right now. I'm arising. I'm allowing your glory to shine, because back 2,000 and some years ago on the cross, you said it's finished. You defeated the enemy. The enemy is still defeated today. This is a dark place that needs your light to go and shine. Arise, shine. The light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, the darkness covers the earth. There is darkness in heaven, or excuse me, in the earth. The earth, thick darkness is on the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Can I tell you this morning, prayer brings great and powerful effects. Number two. Prayer is going to awaken you to God possibilities. Because often we are not perceptive or understanding what God wants to do. And the Bible says it's beyond what you can ask for. It's bigger than what you're praying. It's more than you can dream about. It's more than what you can come up with. God's a creative God. And he just wants to blow you out of the water. he wants you in awe of his who he is and what he can do. But when we're in prayer, something awakens in us by the Holy Spirit as we're praying. Because Peter had to be struck. He's sleeping. And the angel says, dude, stop it. You need to be awake right now. It is time to move. It is time to go. And he literally jars him awake, even though as we continue reading, he thinks he's in a dream. He's kind of in that dream state. Or have you ever woken up and even though you're in your bed, you don't know where you are? Am I in a hotel room somewhere? Where am I? You're in that dream state. You're not fully awake. But as you're praying, there's a process that takes place, and the Holy Spirit begins to awaken you to God possibilities. You begin thinking about them. You begin praying them. And before you know it, God possibilities are coming out in your prayer language. Prayer language is a good thing, by the way. We talk about praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if we'll get there on Wednesday or not, but setting your sail and catching the movement of the Holy Spirit. But that's one way to do it, is to pray in a prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives us. As you pray, the Holy Spirit awakens you. You begin to receive spiritual gifts, the gift of faith. There is nothing like the gift of faith. We don't talk enough about the gift of faith. We talk a lot about prophetic gifts and healing gifts. But the gift of faith is a gift that God drops in us, where you just know that you know that you know that you know that God is about to work on your behalf. It's not based on a scripture you might have read. It's a gift of faith. God gives you faith. It's a wonderful supernatural gift that you can be awakened to the possibilities of God. Why? Because prayer brings great and powerful effects. Number three. Prayer causes the chains of bondage to fall off. Does anybody still believe this morning? The chains break when we pray. We're talking about bondages that we face in life. You see, Peter was bound by a guard on his left and a guard on his right. And no matter how he moved, he was reminded, I'm chained. No matter if he was, you know, even if he was in that dream state and forgot for a moment that he was chained, he would have realized, right, that I'm still chained to this thing. Somebody in the room, you might be chained to unforgiveness this morning. You might be chained to depression. You might be chained to an addiction this morning. You might be chained to doubt, or you might be, there's just so many things that we can be chained to. And that when we try to move, we're just reminded, and the enemy says, no, you're chained to this. You're not getting away from this. Maybe you're chained to something that you have faced throughout all of your life, and you have said, there's no breaking these chains. Chains are anything that keep us in our prisons, in the place that we are, guarded by the enemy. But Peter, standing in the middle of a praying church, as he's teaching them, he motioned them and said, wait a minute, while you were praying, it was the craziest thing. Those chains dropped off. Those chains broke before my very eyes. Those chains no longer held me. Those chains, that when the light came into that dark place, the chains began to rattle all by themselves. They were afraid. I wasn't afraid anymore. The chains were afraid. The enemy was afraid. Come on, we need to start putting some fear into the enemy that he's losing his hold on our families, losing his hold in this region. And we need to declare, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Chains are broken in prayer. Why did he put 16 guards on Herod? Well, it's conjecture, anything that I might say. But I just believe, and in my experience, the enemy overplays his hand every single time. He doesn't want you to pray. So if he makes it extra dark, puts extra guards, he wants to convince you nothing can change. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to be the same tomorrow as it is today. Why are you bothered? Don't pray. Don't pray. But wait a minute, the righteous prayer, the prayers of a righteous person, the prayers of a Christ follower are powerful and effective. Of course, he doesn't want you to pray. He gets up, and with the angel's help, the chains are gone, and he begins to walk by squadron one and squadron two and squadron three. I think Peter actually stopped and checked. Can you see me? Because they're standing there on guard. You have to understand, as we read later in the scriptures, we didn't have time to read all of it this morning, but as we read this account, Herod executed the guards because Peter got away. These guys knew that they had to guard him. So how is it that Peter was unseen by the enemy? Come on, you got to get this. When you begin to pray, as you begin to pray, you see, the enemy doesn't know what God's going to do. God doesn't tell the enemy what he's going to do. And I believe that there is a blindness that comes on the eyes of the enemy and the work of the enemy. These guards, number four, prayer blinds the eyes of the enemy. They don't see what's happening, so they can't stop what's happening. If they can't see what's happening, they can't stop what's happening. You see, some of you think this is like an arm wrestle with good and bad, and Jesus and the devil are arm wrestling for you, and it's like even Stephen. There is no contest. This is not a contest. This is not a battle of good and bad. This is, the devil is defeated. It's already done. And when you begin to pray and you bring heaven's power into that situation, the light of God begins to come. You begin to be awakened to possibility. The enemy's eyes literally become blinded to what God's doing, and you begin to do the things that God wants you to do and move in them. It literally blinds. There's a number of stories in the Old Testament. The one we have this morning, just quickly, and you can go back and read this in 2 Kings, but Elijah the prophet is dealing with an army, and he just prays, God, blind their eyes. He's in the middle. He's surrounded. You know, their city's surrounded. He's surrounded. If you're feeling surrounded today, you pray, and you're going to get out of that situation. Why? Because of what Elijah did. He said, God, blind their eyes. Cause them to see what's not there. Cause them to see something different. And he literally led that army that was against him into an ambush directly right into the midst of God's army. Now the enemy was completely surrounded by God's army, and they were overcome and beaten because one man that prayed and said, God, blind their eyes. Yes, there are schemes of the enemy, but we're not to fear them. We're to be aware of them. But as we pray, the eyes of the enemy are blinded. He doesn't know what you're doing or why you're doing it. He doesn't need to know, except that he's going to open his eyes and be defeated. Come on, the enemy needs to start opening their eyes to know that they've been defeated. That happens as we begin to pray. Prayer brings great, powerful effects. They passed the first and second guards, if the worship team can come. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. This was the last thing separating Peter from his total freedom. Gates in the Bible speak about authority and power. This is an iron gate. It's particularly strong, particularly impenetrable. It doesn't open. It just doesn't open unless you've got the keys for it or you have the manpower to open it. Number five, prayer opens doors that otherwise are impossible to open. You might be facing a situation today, and as you're praying, you need to believe God that he wants to open that door. The Bible says God opens the door that nobody can open and shuts doors that nobody can shut. Start believing God that he's leading you and he's guiding you. And he's got you on a journey. And if you're standing in front of an impossible place this morning, you know you're supposed to continue down that path, but there's a gate standing in the way, an iron gate. It led out of the city. Cities speak about so many things, resources and commerce and activity. And God, you might be saying, God, I just know there's more. I have more in my life right now than what I'm experiencing. You might be standing at an iron gate. And prayer causes that thing to open all by itself. As Peter walked through, he went right to the prayer meeting. He went right to the church service like us today, and they didn't believe the answer was at the door. Rhoda, hearing Peter's voice, knew it was Peter. As I was thinking about this, just getting ready this morning, I thought how many times when I send a text, I fully expect an answer. So I'm checking my phone all the time. And everyone laughing or commenting, you do the very same thing. Or you like somebody's thing on Facebook, and or you post something and you're looking for a response. You're not just looking, you're expecting a response. What if we started expecting that our prayers are powerful and effective because the Bible clearly says they are? What if we were checking the door? Is it here yet? Okay, it's coming. Is it here yet? It's like my wife when she has a camera on our front door just to keep track of all her deliveries. And we couldn't figure out how to get that camera to notify us both. So the camera notifies her and she notifies me. Go out on the front porch. There's porch pirates out there. I don't want anything stolen, so get my stuff inside. That might be more prophetic than I understood this morning. That notification by the Holy Spirit saying, get your answer inside and begin to celebrate what God is doing in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, if you're here today, you're facing something, it's dark, and you might be like me, that I'm preaching this to myself today. I needed to be reminded there's some areas of my life that are dark. Some areas that are prisons that I just kind of turned my attention away from. It's dead. It's over. I'm not bothering with that anymore. And I was just reminded this week that the minute that I stopped praying was the minute that the glory stopped shining, that these five powerful principles weren't taking place. And I felt a little bit like God was awakening me. And I just want to share that with you today. If you're in that place today, I want to pray for you. I'm praying for myself, but I want to pray for you. That there's a new faith that rises up in Harvest to believe that prayer is powerful and effective. It changes things, even when we can't see it. But we're going to start going to the front door and looking. If you're here today and you just say, Pastor, the message moved me. The message is speaking to me. And I just want to be different about my prayer life. I'd just like to see your hand all over this place with every head bowed, every eye closed. Just raise your hand so I can see it. All right, you can put your hand down. I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you right now for those that are partnering with me, partnering with you. And we're saying, Lord, first, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for not realizing how important this is. We simply give that to you. And I believe, Lord, that you redeem. And Lord, that when we get back on the right track in these areas of our life, it's like we never got off. Redemption comes in and redemption begins to change. Thank you for the God that you are, that you love us that way. But today, we're saying, Lord, that we're going to continue praying, believing that our prayers are powerful and effective. Somebody in the room, I'm praying for you today that you said, but I don't feel anything. You don't need to. You don't need to. Just the principles today that you've learned, just follow these principles through, knowing that the righteous, and you are righteous, Jesus is in your life today. He has washed your sins away. He's cleansed you. You can't get more righteous. Prayers of a righteous person, powerful and effective. So Lord, just stir us in the air of prayer. Just before the worship team plays, and then we have some announcements before we're dismissed today. If you're here in the room and say, I've tried praying, but man, there's no connection. I've been coming to Harvest, but I'm not sure what it is. I don't feel like I'm connected. And the Bible says it's the prayer of a righteous person. And you see, the Bible says that we're born in sin. We're unrighteous. We're born in sin. We are lawbreakers. We are sinners. And until we receive Jesus into our life, we acknowledge of the work on the cross was for us personally and ask him to come and personally wash our sin, there will be no connection. But he's waiting today to connect with you. He's been longing to connect with you. If you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, never asked him to forgive your sin, to receive eternal life by receiving him, it would be my greatest privilege to pray with you today, a prayer of invitation. If that's you today, I'll simply count down from 3, 3, 2, and then 1. And at 1, I would just ask you to raise your hand with every head bowed and eye closed in this room. You're raising your hand saying, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. I want to begin my journey of being a Christ follower in 3 and in 2 and in 1. Just simply raise your hand today so I can see it. I'll acknowledge it. Is there anyone today? I don't see any hands. If you're online today, would you just text in, I'm making a decision today, and someone will pray with you today online so that you can receive Jesus into your heart and life. Let's stand this morning. We're going to, as I said, we'll just sing this song, and then we're going to receive some announcements just before we're dismissed.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him.
Can grab a seat for just a couple of moments. We're just going to do a few announcements. As always, our ways to give will be on the screen. We just want to thank you for your tithes and your offerings. We trust God with our finances. He always provides for us. And now we're just going to watch a little video with some announcements this week. Think. Give it up for the production team. Ever since 2003, Harvest Christian Fellowship has gathered together every weekend and in small groups throughout the week to share the good news with anyone and everyone we can. We've learned a lot over the years. We've learned that we are not doing church for ourselves. We are not here as a traditional religious ceremony. We are here for others. We are here for you, for your friends, for your family, and for your neighbors. We are here to share this abundant life that we have discovered with everyone. We are here to experience freedom, restoration, hope, and joy together as a community. We've seen plenty of miracles, but we know there's way more ahead. It is our goal that every single Sunday, people would experience this incredible life with Jesus. But we aren't just about Sundays. Harvest started as a small group, and we have never stopped believing in the effectiveness of midweek gatherings where we can learn, grow, and experience life together. Our hope and prayer for every single person that comes through the doors of 847 York Street or through one of our online services is that they would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. There is so much more to come, and every single person has a beautiful, unique, and significant role to play. And this is only the beginning. We're convinced it's the greatest, most fulfilling life adventure you could ever embark on. Somebody's excited for First Wednesday. We are so, yeah, okay, if you're gonna clap, clap, everybody. We are excited. excited. Wednesday's going to be amazing. Be here at 7 o'clock. Be ready for an amazing, amazing night. Harvest, we love you. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next time.